Professor Gavin Brown joins us. Most students who failed crucial new NCEA tests in reading, writing and maths on their first attempt last year failed again a second time, particularly students from schools with high levels of socioeconomic disadvantage. Gavin is from Auckland Uni. He's an expert on educational assessment, says the tests are acting like a canary in a coal mine, revealing problems in society and schooling, and without actual data, no one can comment on their validity or reliability. Gavin, thank you for joining us on the program. My name's Dale. It's a pleasure to have you talk with us on Pākehā.
Morena, Dale. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thanks very much. Well, NCEA is it's a good method for assessing the abilities of our young people. Is it as good as it could be?
Well, the fact that New Zealand children are struggling with online digital assessments at year 10, so they're 14-ish, is not really a surprise. Kids have experience with computers, but they don't have experience with being tested on screens. And New Zealand kids don't get a lot of tests. So there's a practice effect.
Yeah, okay. Talk us through that. You've got... obviously been able to compare other countries' approaches here. So we don't do a lot of tests. Explain that, please.
Well, in New Zealand, teachers and a lot of schools will run a diagnostic test like the Progressive Achievement Test or the EASTL at the start of the year, and then that's purely for diagnostic purposes, purely for administrative purposes, and it doesn't actually impact the student's life. Decisions about will you be allowed to go to the next year level, will you be forced to repeat the grade, we don't do those things, and so tests are rare and have very low consequences, and from my perspective that's probably a good thing, but we don't give tests regularly to kids. I worked in Hong Kong for 3 years and kids there get tested for entry to kindergarten, for entry to primary school, to be graduated to the next grade level, and so on. There's regular testing.
When we look at results here, you say that these tests reveal problems in society and schooling. Can we talk about societal issues on performance in our testing regimes with NCEA?
Sure. It's well established throughout the international literature that children who come from homes where there's greater deprivation, where there's a struggle to put food on the table, where there's poor housing, poor health, crowding, and so on, that impacts the ability of the child to come to school alert, ready to learn, and able to process. It also matters what skills and abilities the parents have. Children whose parents are working two or three jobs don't get a lot of adult time for interaction, conversation, and so on, and that impacts their ability to be ready for school and do well at school. This is well established, and it's why Sesame Street was invented in the 1960s in the U.S. to help those kids, preschool kids in the inner city ghettos, to get ready for school.
Yeah, and hey, I grew up with Sesame Street. I can see what you mean, too. It was sort of based on street corners as well. I thought it was... magnificent program back in the day. What about our young people then? So you're suggesting that we actually don't have the data that can prove this point. And no one can comment, therefore, on their validity or reliability of the testing results. Can you flesh that out a little for us, please, Gavin?
I know some of the work that the New Zealand Qualifications Authority do, and they're usually very careful, very conscientious. They work really hard to check that the scores they generate are accurate, And they do very hard work and very good work on making sure that the test represents what the curriculum says that students need to learn. So I have pretty good confidence in the test, but of course we don't have the actual data. What concerns me is I looked at the ministry's webpage about the trials last year, and they report total performance, but they don't break it down by ethnicity. I put a request in, then I'll get an answer in 10 days. So, you know, they just didn't report the information by ethnicity. So we don't know if Maori kids are doing substantially worse than other kids. The general trend, though, is that kids in the lower socioeconomic neighborhoods found the tests harder than students in the high socioeconomic neighborhoods. And that is... it may not be fair, it may not be just, but it is the way the world is. Kids who start with more do better. So I think that the problem really is are there schools with reasonable communities of Maori kids that are doing better than schools that are similar? We don't know that. And the Maori medium school information was based on less than 300 kids, so it's really hard to say anything generalizable about the whole Maori medium Tura movement based on just 300 kids.
And the NCEA testing might not acknowledge their tremendous skill sets outside of the testing framework. It's interesting. Gavin, we've got overlay of COVID here, so some of the NCEA results have been skewed, I guess, by the fact that so many kids were denied the opportunity to go to school for, well, over a year. So these are the COVID kids that we are talking about. What impact do you think that this is having on NCEA results?
Well, I think it certainly doesn't help, because a lot of kids in poorer neighborhoods had less access to the internet or a machine to do their schoolwork or university work. They parents were saying, I got to do my job, so you can't have the computer. The government did float out through schools and universities extra computers to families, but still internet wasn't free. And so access was problematic. And if you're 16 and you can see that school is hard and you're not, it's a struggle to do it, and you could make some money to help the family, I think it's very honorable to just, you know, let's go get some money for the family. It's honorable and praiseworthy response, but in the end, without qualifications, further opportunities in better employment get harder. So it's a really tough position for a family to be in, to say, gee, great, you're making money for us, but at the same time, you're cutting short your educational opportunities and life opportunities. That's tough.
You mentioned qualifications. I wonder how qualified politicians are to dictate the shape of our curriculum. For instance, from Wellington, they say, look, you've got to guarantee there's an hour of reading, writing and maths. So that effectively alters the curriculum. Are we in dangerous turf when politicians think they know all the answers and their demands overshadow the pathways that would be advised by experienced educationalists?
Yeah, you've put me in a difficult position there, Dale. The situation really is that if you do a rich curriculum with arts and music and performance and science and technology, you get a lot of reading. And I'm a big fan of teaching kids about nutrition and cuisine and cooking, because you got to do multiplication and division to get the recipes right. You've got to read the recipe. You got to turn it into action. And there's all sorts of real life literacy and numeracy involved in courses like that. So do you need a course called reading for 1 hour when you've got reading across the curriculum and math across the curriculum? There's lots of ways of having reading and math without just saying, you know, now you have to sit down and read a book. The problem is teaching reading and math that way at the expense of other subjects is cheap. You can get kids to sit 30, 40 in a classroom, in desks, all in nice rows, and here's a book, and that's cheap infrastructure. Whereas if you say, well, we need a performing space, we need musical instruments, we need stagecraft, we need cooking facilities, that's expensive infrastructure. I'm sure governments don't want to pay for that if they don't have to.
And that makes some sense. Look, thank you. Thanks for reminding us, Gavin. Gavin's done a lot of work on educational assessment, and it seems that, sadly, some who sat their NCEA last year also struggled this year. We'll get more data and we'll source it about the Māori situation, but I appreciate you talking with us, Gavin. I'm actually having a conversation with Peter Keegan, who you probably know from Waikato Maniapoto, Ngāti Apakura. And Peter will shed some light on the Kura Kaupapa Māori results, and perhaps we can identify a difference. I appreciate you spending some time with us, though, Gavin. Thanks very much, and I hope you're cooking up some good kai with your students over the next week or two.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, wouldn't it? Good on you, Gavin. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yummy. Professor Gavin Brown.